You ready? We on? All right. Okay, can you scoot back just a little bit?
And you need to out-angle me? Okay. Is that better?
You're going to be in the middle and not able to talk to either.
Is that a management tool? Do you teach the angling when you're managing?
I'm trying to learn right now. you're showing me.
Just sit back and observe.
Yeah.
So, guys, welcome back to the CaliCast. We've got an awesome guest with a ton of knowledge in an area that I'm not a specialist in. Greg has gotten more and more with Trifecta's growth into the fitness world and the bodybuilding world. But we've got Manager Matt here. The man,
where's the applause?
The legend.
Where's the applause?
Oh, we'll splice that in. We got Jason behind the scenes. He'll splice that in. But, you know, thanks for tuning in, guys. We're always looking at different facets of the fitness world, of the athletic world, and, of course, the business world. So we've got Manager Matt, who's somebody that helps folks in the fitness industry, bodybuilding specifically, make cash and monetize the hard work they put in. Some of your clients are guys like Jay Cutler, and who's a great friend of ours, and he was actually on our show as well. Who are some of the other folks that you're working with?
The current Mr. Olympia, Sean Roden. Okay. The current Miss Bikini Olympia, Angelica Teixeira. I have Regan Grimes, who was the guy that went from open bodybuilding to classic and back to open in the same year. Nathan Diasha, he got top 10 his first 2 years in the Olympia. Those are some of the main guys. And then I have a bunch of people in the industry that I do, you know, just more appearances for them. If a lot of expos reach out to me and ask me who to bring on. So I have people, anyone from Dana Lynn Bailey, Rob Bailey, Mike Rashid, Michael Hearn, Flex Lewis.
So you do some like consulting also?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was it Tom? Tom, what did you say about consultants?
Thousand sexual
positions,
no partners.
Yeah, thousand sexual partners. So we're worthless. 1,000 sexual partners with no, 1,000 sexual positions with no partners.
We're worthless.
He's an actual manager, does consultant for those. That's awesome. So, and how did you guys meet, Greg? Obviously.
So, yeah, when Trifecta started getting into the kind of fitness and bodybuilding world, you know, Matt is like a known figure as obviously Manager Matt. And when we started, you know, working with some of the top athletes, he, you know, came into the scene, and him and I built a relationship over, I don't know, it's been a while now.
Year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah, yeah, a couple years. And, yeah, he's just extremely well-connected dude, and also understands kind of the business side of the equation. I think a lot of people understand, you know, the athlete side, or they're big into the fitness, you know, component, which he, you know, obviously for those of you watching this on camera can tell he's big into the fitness component as well. Uriah and I are still trying to out-angle him any way we possibly can.
There may be someone on this panel who's going to get discovered later in this podcast.
I'm a future model.
You're a future model. I may be a
you could be
potential
too.
Client for you.
Yeah. This is my new venture.
Guns here.
but yeah, I mean, long story short, he's just super well-connected dude in the industry. And as we work with, you know, different athletes, we want to make sure we're helping the athletes build their brands as well, and having, you know, having a solid manager that understands both sides of the equation, you know, the business side and the athlete side, has been critical for us. Because, you know, for the business, we obviously have to get the ROI out of, you know, sponsoring an athlete. You know, we're spending money and food and, you know, whatever it is, and then at the same time, the athlete, you know, is putting their personal brand out there to support Trifecta. So, you know, yeah, it's all got to work out together, and having you know, a liaison like Matt help make those equations happen is hugely beneficial.
Yeah, and I mean, the short time we've got to hang out just in the office here, obviously you've got some quick wit and some personality. The management side of things, you have to be able to connect with people. You have to put pieces together. What got you into the sport? Was it something you stumbled into? Was it something you were mindful about? Like, how did it become a position where you are now Manager Matt versus somebody that is, like, you know, dinging around the bodybuilding world? And how'd you put it together to become the position that you're in now?
For me, it kind of goes way back. I wanted to be a pro bodybuilder when I was younger. And unlike most people that want to be pro bodybuilders, one day I looked in the mirror and realized I don't have what it takes. You know, I could get huge.
Self-awareness is an important thing, man.
It is. And very few people can do that. I look in the mirror and I say, I can't do what the top guys do. So instead of killing myself to try to do that, I just took a step back. And I actually worked in the music industry for over 10 years.
Wow.
And at one point, I just got tired of the music industry. I had been around the pro bodybuilding world for about 20 years. And one day, I just kind of flipped about 5 years ago to where I took all the knowledge I had from the music industry over the years, doing events all over the world, working with pretty much everybody in the hip-hop world at one point or another. And I just kind of flipped over, and Phil Heath was actually 7-time Mr. Olympia, was my first client. And
so you found your passion, and this is an important thing, and I talk about this all the time with my guys, and in the fight world especially, you know, we've got guys, and you never want to crush somebody's dream. Like, I would never, if I was your bodybuilding coach, be like, hey, man, there's no way in hell you're going to make it.
Yeah.
And some people, just the journey itself is enhancing their life, and it keeps a big goal and things like that. But I think that's important, self-awareness. And in a sport like bodybuilding, it can be dangerous.
Yeah.
You may have to do some things that are not healthy, you know, even with weights or things that you're putting in your body.
Yeah.
In the fight world, getting punched and fighting other people can be dangerous.
Yeah.
I think even sports like cheerleading. Cheerleading has some of the most fatal and most damaging injuries in the sport. And if somebody doesn't realize that they don't have that special thing, or hasn't got the right coaching at some point, you know, there needs to be some self-awareness. In the business world also, I mean, there's a lot of times where that, you know, without crushing your dream, just being self-aware and saying, okay, I want to stay involved in my sport, or I want to stay involved in my passion. How can I be a part of it? I think that's awesome that you found your way. And we were talking before about the difference between a management and an agent, and I've learned a lot about that throughout the years.
Yeah.
As a manager, what does that look like for you?
As a manager, you basically have to do everything for your client, even stuff that doesn't necessarily make you money. Right. You have to do what's in their best interest. So I would say 75% of the things that I do for my people, there's no money attached to it, but it's in their best interest for their career. So you have to guide them through their career. You have to guide them. Sometimes doing deals, you know, might not be the best financially, but you know it's going to help them long term, to where an agent is just chasing you money and that's it.
They're trying to book you. So
yes.
So that's what I've learned also. I had a management company for a lot of years in the mixed martial arts world, and then I've had managers and agents and everything else. My manager now, Mark Schulman with Three Arts Entertainment, they're a management and production company.
Yeah.
But when I started looking at Three Arts Entertainment as a management company, and we talked about CAA and William Morris Endeavor, we talked to guys like Todd Feldman from CAA and Brad Slater, who's The Rock's manager, and Ronda Rousey, and works with Cody Garbrandt and does some stuff for myself as well. That's the difference.
Yeah.
They're booking jobs, and a manager can guide a career, can see the bigger picture sometimes. And there's a lot of cohesion in that, a lot of times working together. But there's different set of rules even, which is kind of crazy. So as a manager, you can actually get in business ventures with someone, with one of your clients. And in the agent world, especially in entertainment, I think there's some rules against that and stuff. So it's a super interesting thing, because it is a lot of similarities. Some people have a manager and an agent. Some people just have a manager. Some people just have an agent. And they do coincide. But a manager, you really have to build a relationship, and it's a long haul, right? You can see a talented guy and help them build. You may not see some money for years, depending on who it is. Until you have jockeyed them, had them do this for free, or had them turn down this job, etc.
Yeah.
To make ends meet.
Absolutely. You know,
that's kind of a cool concept.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the athletes don't necessarily see that, and they don't, you know, understand what you're doing. And sometimes they think of a manager just, your job is just go get me money. And it's like,
oh, I've experienced that.
It's like, man, I gotta wear a bunch of hats.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And some of the athletes don't understand that. So you have to explain it to them. And they go, look, man, I need you to do this, this, and this. And I'm asking you to do this. I'm doing the legwork. I'm not making any money either.
Yeah.
Like, but you need it for your career. It could be as simple as a interview for a magazine. Like, I'm not making no money, but that's publicity, and the more publicity you get, the more money you can get for these other things when the time comes.
Yeah, and it's something like that, you know, Greg, you understand it from a PR standpoint. We're always trying to find, interesting ways to get our messages out and our stories out for free.
Yeah.
And if you hire a PR company, and I'm sure some of your guys have PR people that work for them, a lot of times management can do it themselves, you're paying money to somebody to try to lobby and get your story out for free from them, but you're paying them to lobby and
they still may not get anything either.
They may strike out across the board. So it's kind of this crazy thing that people don't understand. You know, PR agent, manager, actual agent, there's all these different hats, and a manager is there to guide, hold your hand, and build you in a long-term career. I've experienced this. Mm-hmm. Have you had a scenario, because we're dealing with athletes and stars and things like that, have you been in a scenario where you built someone, as soon as they get some leeway, all the people come from around and they're ready to get, you know, all the leeches and all
of course
come in and try to snag your piece of hard work that you've been building for
of
you?
Course that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Every
how
day
do you separate the frustration of that? I mean, over time, how long have you been doing this?
I mean, working, you know, if you combine the music industry and the fitness for almost 20 years. Right. So when I was younger, I would have got really mad and angry. Now you're just kind of like, I'm not going to stress over stuff I can't control. And I just keep it moving.
Yeah. And in this, that's something that's so common. I had to learn also, because, you know, that's what happens. It's like,
oh, I can't even imagine the frustration.
Like,
yeah.
And Greg, you know, from a standpoint of a guy who's an entrepreneur, who's done quite a few startups, it's always a struggle, a grind. And then all of a sudden, everybody wants to call you. You know, we're getting to the point now with Trifecta where it's like you're the redheaded stepchild, and you're like trying to get a phone call and try to get a meeting and this and that. And then all of a sudden, you built a position where things start coming to you and the roles are reversed, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're in the beginning, we'd like reach out to athletes, and some of them would just totally ignore like DMs or messages or anything. And now we have, you know, probably at least 5 like Instagram famous, at least, people reach out to us like every day. And we've gotten a lot more choosy with the athletes we pick up. And that's, I mean, honestly, going back to the, you know, the manager side of the fence, that's one of the things we really look for in an athlete or a celebrity is, are they well-rounded? You know, if you're famous on Instagram, are you also really strong on YouTube? You know, those two platforms tend to be the biggest social media platforms, because if you're strong on YouTube, you have really good engagement with your audience. Yep. They've watched you on video a ton. They really like you. And, you know, going back to your PR example, having a good manager can like result in them pushing you into, oh, you know, you should do some stuff on YouTube because that'll get you better engagement on Instagram. Or you should do this magazine cover because you're going to get more shows or more sponsors or whatever it is out of it. So that career guidance is something that you'd be amazed at how many people don't have it, or right. They're untrusting of everybody. And, you know, because of that, they end up not taking advantage of the assets the brands are able to bring to them. Yeah. Like with Trifecta, we have a whole PR firm that we pay thousands of dollars every single month. Right. And our athletes could hugely utilize take it. Advantage of that. You know, it's like we have magazines constantly like, oh, which athlete do you want on this cover or this interview or, you know, this and that. And the athletes that do capitalize on that, they get way more press and end up making way more fucking money in the process.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, they get more engagement from their brands. And, you know, it's something that oftentimes the celebrities or the athletes don't realize and their manager does.
Right.
And that's, you know, honestly, that's why I try and like be super good friends with, you know, Matt, because he gets like the business side of shit. And right. at the same time,
and a lot of times when we'll talk, I mean, I'll tell some of my athletes, they think they're worth this. And it's like, you're not worth this.
Just because you believe in yourself.
Yeah. You believe in yourself, but just because you have 1 million followers doesn't mean that they convert. Doesn't mean a company is going to see the return. You have to prove it. And I like, you know, even though, you know, obviously I have my client's best interest, but I still want to make sure if they partner with a company that it's a long-term thing.
Mm-hmm.
So not every company, just because they're offering you money, you need to go work with them, you know. And a lot of times the athletes, you know, they'll see this company wants to pay you this much. But if they pay you this much, I know 3 or 4 months down the road, they're going to be pissed off.
Yep.
And I'll tell my guy, look, don't take this much money. We're gonna do it for less because I'd rather have you, you know, under promise and over deliver.
Yeah.
And then you'll be with them for the next 4 or 5 years instead of, oh, well, you got $10,000 a month for these 4 months and now they drop you, which you made this much money, but now you got this company that dropped you on your resume. And now when other companies look at you, they're going to say, well, why were you only with that company for 4 months? Why are you not there anymore?
Yep.
What's the reason? You know, and it hurts your brand.
Yeah, and I love you using that word resume because that's almost what it is. Like people almost have like a social media resume now, and the brands, we watch and see which athletes have like 10 sponsors or they've moved from sponsor to sponsor to sponsor in a particular area. And what ends up happening, if they get a whole bunch of sponsors because they're super greedy, they end up, their engagement will go off a cliff because they're constantly having to advertise those sponsors. It's not like, oh, I'm,
longer genuine.
Yeah, exactly. It's no longer they're like, oh, I'm doing fight training or behind the scenes or whatever, and then I'm doing a post about a sponsor. Yeah. It's like every single post becomes a sponsor post. Yeah. Or on the flip side, if they go, you know, from sponsor to sponsor, they end up, you know, in a situation where they're usually going downstream because, you know, nobody wants to be like the second or third meal prep company that that person's working with because – you know, you'll be the second, but, you know, third, fourth, fifth, at that point, you're like, okay, this person's getting dropped for some reason. They're, you know, they're unreliable. Something's happening.
Like I have one girl that's actually is coming on board Trifecta now. She's the top bikini girl in the world. And she had a different food sponsor before. And she's very loyal. And being loyal is another thing that, you know, it has a lot of value.
Yep.
And it took a certain amount of time for me to, you know, really get her to understand that not every time you leave a company to go to another one is it bad.
Mm-hmm.
If it is if it's an upgrade and it's a better company, a more professional company, it's not always bad to do that. Even though she's like, I want to stay with these companies for my whole career because it makes her, she kind of felt it might make me look bad. But if you're upgrading, it's not, you know, it's a totally different ballgame.
Yeah. And one of the things I'll commend you on the management side is, because she was so loyal, and other people are obviously very loyal to their brands as well. You know, we waited until that contract was finished, so it wasn't like she was breaking contract to come on board with Trifecta. And we try and be respectful of other brands as well, from that standpoint. But on the business side of the fence, we absolutely look for loyalty. So that's almost like more attractive to us to have an athlete that's like super loyal to their brand, and we can wait out that contract and then try
and with her, it was actually more than, it was, she knew I had other athletes here. She had tried the food, but she actually went through a second round or third or fourth round of contracts with her old company. But it was when the time was right and it was right for her. And I'm not pushy. I just say, hey, I believe this company's better, but the decision is yours. I'm not making it.
Right.
But she stayed loyal until it got to a point where she's like, I need to upgrade and come here because it's superior. And for her, your physique is how you make your money. That's how you get paid.
Right.
And if you have a food company that is giving you the best quality fuel for your body, it will make a difference how you look on stage. So it's not just, it's more than just it's a business move, but it's like your body's your business too. So it's a health and business move for her to, move over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of wild when you think about, the education process that has to happen in a person's career, and it's part of that, like understanding the loyalty to brands or being genuine when you do things, finding things that you really like, not just what people are paying you to do, and then also just the PR work. So a lot of times, and I've seen it happen time and time again, as you're mentoring a young fighter or you're getting into the management game, and I remember myself going through an experience where I've been through the circuits of the local fights before it was even legal in California, where I'm getting, bad situation after bad situation with these shady promoters that are down Indian casinos and all this kind of stuff. And when it comes to my first experience with Zuffa, I've still got my guard up. And I remember there was a PR guy, Lauren Mack, and I was like, well, you want me to do what? You want me to do this and do that and do this and do that? I'm like, dude, pay me. Which is just an ignorant way of thinking, because at the time it's the beginning of something that Zuffa is trying to build with the WEC, and I'm just like, you want me to do this interview and travel to Florida and do a you know, and do a media thing here, a media thing there, like, and you guys are not going to pay me? And he's like, he sat me down. I was like, listen, dummy, you know, more or less. Like, this is how it works. And I'm like, oh, you know. And it took a little while, just a mindset of understanding, like, you be coached up on the work that you have to put in. And Ronda Rousey knows this. The Rock knows this, you know, as a WWE wrestler for The Rock and as a fighter for Rousey. And Chuck Liddell, they, you know, they'd have him on jets over here doing this show. He's falling asleep on morning shows. And
you need to do it.
Stuff. You have to do that stuff. And the guys that can balance both, where they're putting in just as much hard work on building relationships and doing the PR, et cetera, and staying on top of their craft, which is hard to do, those are people that stand out, and those are the stars. And it's not because they just have the it factor. They need to have the it factor. They need to be really great at something, but it's the work ethic and the drive and the coachability from managers and from agents and from, you know, people that you trust that are guiding your career. And I've seen it so many times where, you know, people just get, like we talked about, just get poached by, you know, especially in an industry where a lot of people are coming from rough backgrounds, where the slick talking dude has a nice car and has a nice clothes. It's like they're just ripe to get picked off of with a slick talking guy. But it's such a guiding, and the hard work has to happen outside of the gym and outside of the arena to make it a lot of times. And it's hard to teach these guys that sometimes. And there's some people that don't want to do that extra work, and they could have all the talent in the world, and it just doesn't happen for them because they don't get that piece.
I there's times where I have athletes, and I'll tell them, you know, you need to do this, 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 and this. And it's going to take a certain amount of time, whether you got to travel here and do these other things. And they'll look at me and be like, well, I don't want to do that. And I'm like, I'm traveling with you.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not just sending you. I'm going with two. I'm flying there. I'm the one. And while you're sleeping, I'm going off to the next place to make sure the next thing's set up. I'm like, I'm doing more than you are. And am I complaining? Like, I'm telling you needed to do this because it helps your career.
Right.
So a lot of times the athletes, you know, I think they don't see that, but sometimes managers do way more than some of the athletes do. Yeah. And they don't see it until
and they don't,
it's too late.
Yeah. And they don't realize, like, some people just don't have that work ethic. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's a hard thing. And I've seen, you know, in situations where there's talent, and I've seen it over and over again, where there's talented guys, and the old saying, hard work beats talent, is when talent doesn't work.
Yeah.
Is
when talent works, then it's
when talent works. But if you have an advantage, you got to sit on that advantage and then work harder than the people that don't have the advantage, because the people that do not have that advantage, they have to work hard if they're going to make it.
I always use Jake Cutler as an example of that. And, you know, I've known him for about 20 years, and he has all the titles, the largest social media following, and he works harder than anyone in the industry. If there's something that I'm working on with him, he hits me 2-3 times a day about it. Where are we at with this? Where are we doing with this? What about this event in 6 months from now? What about this? Like, he stays on top of everything, and he still goes to his office every day. He still packs orders. You know, he's got a massive, you know, facility. He does everything. He works nonstop. But that's why he's the best in the world at what he does.
Right.
Because of that work ethic.
Yeah. You know? Jay's a great example, too, because he's stayed humble through the whole process as well. Like, he's like, I mean, obviously we had him on the podcast, but he's a guy you can just sit down and shoot the shit with. You can go to an event with.
Heart.
Yeah. Just a, you know, perfect example of a stand-up dude overall. Yeah. But a big part of that is, you know, he's taken the feedback, I'm sure, from people like you or various others, and like educated himself on like business and PR and all of that. Yeah. So I mean, from a manager standpoint, you're almost like a business coach as well to a lot of the athletes, because
I have a lot of people that I work with that I'll tell them, hey, we shouldn't do this, because if we do this, this and this and this is going to happen negatively. And they'll tell me the choice is yours. They'll go against, you know, my advice. And then everything I said that was going to happen happens. And then it's, all right, man, you got to help me out of this situation. Now. Yeah. I'm like, dude, we shouldn't be in this situation if you had just listened. You know, I'm not telling you this just because I feel like hearing myself talk. Like, there's a reason for this, because this has happened to 10 other people in the past 10 years. And now you're the 11th and you didn't learn from, you know, other people's mistakes.
Yeah, everybody in the past. Yeah. So
I had another lesson on the same note. My manager and a mentor in a lot of ways in the entertainment world, Mark Schulman, I'm going to his house actually today. We're going to have a meeting, talk some trifecta amongst other things. But I've had a lot of people, because he's managed a lot of top talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Craig Robinson and Mario Lopez are two of his clients that he's been with for, I think, 18 plus years.
Wow.
And he's explained to me the process of building a guy up. But I've had people, because they know that we're tight, talk to me, actors or entertainers on some level, and be like, hey, can I get a meeting with Schulman? And Schulman will do his due diligence. He'll make a couple of calls, and he'll be like, you know, I'll do it as a favor to you, like, talk to the guy, but he's a guy that jumps around. And I'm like, what do you mean? I learned this mm-hmm. a couple of years ago. He goes, he just has a reputation of dropping management and dropping agents, et cetera, and so I'm not really interested.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I'm like, okay, I learned a lot from that. And I had a management company as well where we're dealing with fighters that are, you know, just as jumpy. And that hit home for me, that he would take a guy who has a nice career going, do a little research and say, hey, he's too hard to deal with. He jumps around too much. He's not a loyal guy. And just not even entertain it because of that fact. So
yeah, I wouldn't deal with it at the level he does, but I have people that reach out to me every week that want to work with me, and you know, I always research them, and I'm just like, I'm just not interested,
right?
You know, for whatever reason. It could be for that, or you know, just for multitude of reasons.
Right.
But you got to be real careful who you work with, because at the end of the day, you know, their name's tied to you, and
right.
if they aren't a stand-up person, or if they are doing this and that and the other, it's wrong. It can reflect you as well.
So, mm-hmm. so just out of curiosity, and because we have an expert in here, what are the primary monetization, like, funnels for a bodybuilder at this point? I mean, is it like musicians where a live appearance is big and they can sell mm-hmm. online stuff? Like, is it product? Is it appearances? Is it competitions? In your opinion, what is the business side of a branded guy like Jay Cutler or some of the other
every breakdown? Every athlete's different. You know, there's some athletes that can get an extreme amount of money making appearances. There are some that, you know, if you're a top person in the world, you do the Olympia, you do the Arnold, you know, you can make upwards of $500,000 just in prize money.
Wow.
There's some that are really good at social media, so they know, I could start a clothing line and I can sell 100,000 shirts a year because my social media, actually, people actually convert.
Right.
Some of them are, you know, they train people where they make their money. Some of them still get the traditional sponsor that gives them X amount of dollars per month for 5 appearances a year. So, and then some now are on YouTube, but then the real good ones got their hands in all of them.
Yep.
You know, right. they film twice a week, and they own their own clothing line, and they have a supplement sponsor, and the supplement sponsor sends them around the world. And when they go around the world, they use that as a form of PR to help build their brand around the world. And then they, you know, so I think every athlete, it's different,
right.
You know, to where, you know, maybe other industries, like take the NBA, you know, you're going after your big contract and your shoe deal. And with bodybuilding, it's a little different. It just
right.
depends on, and I hate saying it like this, but it depends on if you're lazy or not.
Yeah.
Some are just, I mean, some athletes are just lazy.
You shouldn't hate saying it like that.
Yeah, they're just lazy. And the ones that aren't lazy capitalize from every direction. The ones that are lazy might capitalize in two of the areas.
Right.
You know, to where, I mean, I've had some of my athletes, they'll say, you need to do YouTube. We need to find a person local that can film you. And, oh, that's a great idea. But you say it 2-3 times and it's like, I'm not going to keep repeating myself.
Right.
You can do it. If you don't do it, don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to force you to do it if you don't want to.
Right.
But there's an avenue there as well.
Yeah, and just to add to that, what we've seen is the people that do all the various different things, it's like a business. They get a marketing mix going where your YouTube is building your Instagram's, you know, boosting your e-commerce sales and your supplement sales and this and that. And you know, having all of these different components working together makes all of the areas they're participating in stronger. So they end up getting more for appearances or this or that because they are doing all of the activities. And I think laziness is a great example. It's a lot of fucking work. And, you know, what I always try and impart on athletes, because, you know, they will ask me questions about businesses, is, you know, utilize your manager, utilize the brands that you partner with. I mean, we're most of the brands we're running these big multi-million dollar businesses. You know, we know a lot of shit about business. You know, utilize our knowledge base to build your personal brand as an athlete. And the ones that are clever end up doing that, and they'll be texting me like, oh, you know, what do you think about this strategy or this idea? You know, they're always kind of coming up with new things and being creative, and they end up being, I guess, more successful overall because they are doing all of these kind of core activities for them to have a, you know, a marketing mix that ends up making them more successful across the board. And, you know, going back to Jay's a great example of that. Like, the dude's probably got enough money to never do an appearance again, but I see him at all kinds of shows. He's always doing, like, the appearances, PR.
He's still the most booked person in the fitness industry in the world.
Yeah, he was talking
by a landslide. Not even remotely close. At least triple what anyone else is doing in the world. He's been retired for 5 years.
Yeah. It's absolutely crazy. So I know personally from talking to you, but give us the latest and greatest. What's next? I know you got a big move coming up.
Yeah, I'm probably going to end up relocating to the South once again.
South?
Yeah.
And so Florida. You're from Florida. And
I was born and raised there, but I left 10 years ago because I just didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll probably end up back there. And, you know, I have a couple other things that I work on. I do different expos around the world. I help them bring their athletes in, and I have different companies that I, you know, help get athletes to. And because I travel so much around the world with different athletes, I meet distributors around the world. So I help connect companies to different people around the world as well. So I always got my hands in on something.
That's awesome, man. I think, you know, this is going to be a short podcast today because I have to get to the airport also.
Sure.
I'd definitely love
Shulman's
to
stealing him.
Yeah,
God
I'd definitely like
Shulman.
To have you come back on, and maybe we can bring some of your.
Yeah, I want to get Angelica to come back out here. She's a, you know, 2-time Miss Olympian. She hasn't lost in over 2 years now.
That's crazy.
And she couldn't even speak English.
Is there anyone here that you think might get discovered? Is there anyone you might want to manage on this panel today?
I mean,
your eyes still trying to out-angle me from over here.
I think you have potential.
Yeah.
Are you eating enough? Are you eating enough trifecta?
I need to get some more beef patties.
Some bison. It's better for you.
Something's going on. Nice. I think I might have passed my bodybuilding days.
Your prime.
Potential. Wait, how old are you?
I'm young.
How old?
Really young. 39.
Perfect. That's the prime for bodybuilding.
Is it?
Late 30s. Absolutely. Your muscles, you got all mature right. muscle now, so you better start.
Yes, hey. Sean Roden that just
if
won.
I wore a tank
Sean
top,
just
I
won.
Discovered
Sean
you.
Just won hey. The Olympia at 43.
I manifested this.
Yep.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I'll let you manage me. Thank you.
wait, how did I get suckered into this?
I'll be looking for my first deal next week. I'll be calling you every day.
Yeah, I'm sure if you post every day, I can get a company that'll give you a free tub of protein once a month.
Wow, free, we'll do it. But man. I really do have to rock. We'd love to have you come back. Manager Mark, man.
Manager Matt.
What the hell's that?
Manager Jeez. Matt. That's the second time. Manager Matt, thank you so much for having
no problem.
Us. And I'll be looking for that first contract with Trifecta.
Yeah,
so
you're gonna rope me into it.
See, that's what I think this whole thing was. You're trying to butter him up to get you. Yeah. Well, you're trying to move. You're trying to move.
Trying to
listen,
up.
You're trying to move back up on that ladder. Because didn't you say you're kind of going down?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
So
we gotta get back on. I gotta jockey back up on the Trifecta.
The front of the. You want to be on the front page again.
The front page again. Yeah.
Yep.
But Matt, with my skill and all your hard work, I'm gonna make a lot of money. So thank you again.
You are. But what about me?
But awesome, guys. So, hey, Manager Matt, if you're one of these hardworking, bodybuilding, jet flying, limousine riding, beer drinking, alligator shoe wearing son of a guns, and you need management, here's our boy right here. Woo! But thanks again, guys. CaliCast, we'll be back soon. Make sure you tune in. Thanks, Greg. Always a pleasure.
Pleasure as always.
Yeah.
Yep.
Have a good one, guys.
Thanks, guys. You're already thinking Mark Shulman in your head. This guy's like, I'm not going to make it.